Always been a blessing, and I trust that this morning will be no different.
Good afternoon, everyone. And I do echo the sentiment that it's a very beautiful song, and yes, it's one of my favorites, so thanks very much. The Lord be praised. Amen? Again, thanks to the elders here at Good Tidings for having me here. I bring greetings from Emmaus Bible Chapel. And if you have your Bibles, we want to look at a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Shall we thus have a word of prayer? Our Father and our God, we do thank and praise you for who you are. We thank you for the time that we could spend as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It was he who said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so this morning, as we celebrated what he did for us on Calvary, the only response that we have is that we would, like Mary of old, bow and pour out our hearts in adoration and praise and thanksgiving to him who has loved us and washed us from our sins. Indeed, to him be glory and honor and praise. So we bless and we thank you. Pray even now that you might let us open our ears and our hearts to hear from you. We give you thanks. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. And yes, presenting a child to the Lord. I'm glad my brother emphasized that the church here doesn't bless. It is the Lord that blesses. So it's always a good thing for parents to bring their children to the Lord. Now, in context, this passage that I read, it's a very pregnant passage, so I will not be able to deal with all that's there today. Maybe the next time I'm here, we'll look at the other part of this passage. But this morning, we want to deal with just verse 13, which has to do with the matter of salt. In context, Matthew chapter 5, this is the passage that deals with the Beatitudes. And there are eight declarations of blessedness spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And each of these blessed or these beatitudes begins with blessed are. It's from the Latin. And it is debated whether or not there are 8, 9, or 10, but whether that's the case or not, the Greek word for blessed here, makarios, means fortunate or blissful. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ used the word to refer to more than just a superficial happiness, which has its root in hap, which means it's based on happenings. In this context, blessed refers to a state of well-being and prosperity. And so the Beatitude describes the ideal disciple and his reward, both present and future. And so the person whom the Lord Jesus Christ describes here in verses 3 to 12 has a different quality of character and lifestyle than those who are outside of the kingdom. In essence, it's described the quality of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, indicating our influence in the world for good. And so God not only expects us to have character in his kingdom, but he has given us assignments in his kingdom. And those assignments are given to us in the two metaphors, salt and light. And as mentioned, we'll deal with the salt today. So when the Lord Jesus Christ calls believers salt, it is not necessarily a compliment, as it is more of an assignment. See, in the Beatitude verses 3 to 12, we see the character of the believer as God gets the believer, you know, gets the world out of the believer. And in verses 13 through 16, which we read, we see the contribution of the believer as God gets the believer into the world. So first, God gets the believer out of the world, and now we want to get the believer into the world. And so our assignment is not only to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost world, we are to represent the Lord Jesus to a lost world. Not only reveal, but represent him to a lost world. Why? Because we are living examples of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for the sinner, what he can do with the sinner, and what he can do to the sinner. See, our world is not just in trouble, but is in trouble with God. And God will hold all men accountable for the evil that they do and for the good that they fail to do. And he will punish them accordingly. Further, the world is decaying and cannot stop itself from going bad. And so, don't miss a key principle here in the metaphor of salt. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we must impact society because we are different. Not weird, not bizarre, but distinct. And when salt tries to accommodate or be conformed to the world, it loses its distinctiveness and its potential to impact this world which is passing away. But check this. In our modern world, Christians are told to keep their faith to themselves. And we are regularly warned, you know, don't bring your faith to the office. We don't want to hear about that in school. And faith should be a private thing. You know, according to society, it's okay to believe in the Lord Jesus, but we are not supposed to tell anyone else about it. And this is the sort of message that is directly opposed to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we cannot be private Christians. There's no such thing as a private Christian. And so this morning, there are two things that I'd like to share with us. Firstly, the importance of salt. Look again back at verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." See that word, "you"? In Greek, there's no highlighting, there's no underlining. So when you want to emphasize something, they put it at the beginning of the sentence. Not only that, but the word here, humais, is in the plural. So if you're from the South, then you will appreciate this. It means you yourself, or it could mean y'all. It's plural, and it's emphatic. It means that you alone are the salt of the earth. That means you and I as Christians, we alone are the salt of the earth. Not government, not society, not institution, believers, you alone. Not only that, but the word is in the present tense, meaning that our saltiness It's not just a one-time thing. It's a continual process. So y'all, you and me, are continually to be salt. And this speaks of our effectiveness. See, we take salt rather lightly, no pun intended. But did you know that there's more to salt than meet the taste buds? More than likely, some of you have used salt before you came to church this morning. See, salt has been used in many cultures as a valuable commodity. The Latin word from which salt comes from is sal. We get our English word salarium, or our English word salary, from that word. Salt money refers to the Roman soldiers' allowance for the purchase of salt. In fact, soldiers would revolt or rebel if they did not get their salt money or their salt allowance. On the other hand, if the soldier was derelict in his duty, they would not get your salt ration. Why? Because he wasn't worth his salt. We still use that expression today. Someone who earned his pay is said to be worth his salt. And Romans used to say there's nothing valuable, more valuable than sun and salt. In ancient times, couples carried salt to their wedding. In Germany, the bride's shoes were once sprinkled with salt. An 8th century Greek poet, Homer, said that salt was divine. Roman Catholics have had their holy salt. And today in many Arab cultures, if two men partake of salt together, they were sworn to protect one another, even if they had been enemies previously. And people still throw salt over their shoulder in some cultures when they make a promise. And here's something interesting. In the ancient world, ingesting salt was a way to make an agreement legally binding. So if two parties enter into an agreement, they would eat salt together in the presence of witnesses, showing that the contract was secure. 2 Chronicles 13:5 mentioned just such a salt contract. You know, there's also the connection between salt and new beginnings. Like, new babies were rubbed with salt, which helped give their limb firmness. Ezekiel 16:4. God also prescribed salt as a necessary part of sacrifice. Leviticus 2:13. Talks about that. As a matter of fact, if salt was not included in the sacrifice, it was unacceptable. And Job referred to salt as a necessary ingredient to food. He said, Job 6:6, can flavorous food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? So there are also health benefits to salt. Did you know that? Salt plays a vital role in maintaining our overall health and well-being, despite its reputation of being overconsumed. You know, it's essential for regulating fluid balance in the body, maintaining healthy blood pressure, support muscular and nerve function. In moderation, salt is necessary. But then there are disadvantages to salt. Excess salt is not good for you. We know that, right? It can lead to hypertension, stroke, retain enough water in the body. Who knew? And this is only the tip of the iceberg. Who knew that salt, sodium chloride, was so important? And check this. The formula for salt, sodium chloride, NaCl, the sodium by itself is deadly. Chloride by itself is deadly. But when you combine sodium and chloride, you get salt, which is safe for human consumption. So, having said all of that, what is the Lord trying to tell you and me then? What is he trying to tell you and me? Well, my beloved brother and sister, think of the implication of salt. See, you and I have a great purpose in God's plan. And we have it all the time, everywhere that we go. It doesn't matter who you are, young or old, black and white, rich or poor. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are important to the Lord and we have a part to play in his program. And as believers, this is an incredible privilege that we have. One that we should not take lightly. Why? Because God is going to hold us accountable. You know what 2 Corinthians 5:10? It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, question, how are you doing? Are you really living like a believer should live? Are you using your money like a believer? Are you conducting your family like a believer? Does the language change, your language change when people come around you? Does your attitude in the workplace improve because you work without complaining? You show up on time, you refuse to gossip. You know, George Truett, renowned Baptist pastor, said this: you're either being corrupted by the world or you're salting it. So, spiritually speaking, believers are called salt because salt has the following qualities. Salt has a preserving quality. You know, before refrigeration, folks had what they called smokehouses, where they would pack the meat in salt, which would slow down the decaying process. In fact, the only way to preserve meat in the hot climate of Palestine was to soak it in salt. This is still practiced in many parts of the world today. Beloved, we are salt of the earth, and we are to be rubbed in order to preserve the decay of society. As salt, we are to hold back and retard corruption. Can you imagine a world where there are no Christians? But then salt has a penetrating ability. Salt will penetrate and infiltrate whatever it touches. It is an aggressive substance. That's why they use salt in wintertime. Salt also has a prompting ability. You know, it has often been said, if you want a horse to drink, let's put a little salt in his hay. Is your life causing others to be thirsty for the Lord? Salt also has a purifying quality. Christians should have a purifying effect on the world around them. Salt in a wound can cleanse the affected area. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to have a purifying effect on the world around us. Yes, my beloved brothers and sisters, when God's people are the salt of the earth and we live holy lives, our entrance into a room often causes people to want to clean up their act, or clean up your language, or behave better. But then salt also has a pleasing ability. Most foods are bland without salt. And most people in America are living bland, boring lives. They're always trying to do something or come up with something to get to the next high, so they can experience a little excitement in their lives. And the greatest and the most obvious quality of salt is that it adds flavor and bring out the best in food. And so food without salt is insipid and sometimes maybe sickening. Christianity is to life what salt is to food. Christianity adds flavor to life. And so the presence of godly Christians will influence those around us. But then salt also irritates or causes pain. When you rub salt into a disease or old wound, it hurts. And when the truth of God's word is rubbed into a diseased world, people whine and complain. You know, Southern Baptist preacher Vance Havner said this: "We are the salt of the earth, not the sugar. Our ministry is to cleanse and not just to change the taste." I love that. However, there's a caveat. We should never give anyone cause to say, if that is a Christian, then I don't want to be one. Instead, our lives ought to motivate people to say, that's what I want my life to be like. Why? Because we are ambassadors for Christ. So the question is, are we really distinct from the world around us? And this is where our Christianity really comes into focus. Again, Scottish theologian Sinclair Ferguson said this: cease to be different, and we cease to be Christians. Second thing I want to bring to our attention is the ineffectiveness of salt. See, we cannot help to salt unless we have salt in ourselves. Mark chapter 9:50, we read, "Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." The question therefore becomes, how do we have salt in ourselves? It is the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that produces the godly character that enables the child of God to have a godly influence in the world today. You see, beloved, if we lose our enthusiasm and zeal for the Lord, if we lose our first love, we become useless. And while we cannot lose our salvation, we most certainly can lose our usefulness and effectiveness in the work of the Lord. And furthermore, we cannot be the salt of the earth if we remain in the salt shaker, so to speak. To be useful, salt must make contact, or it is good for nothing. See, salt cannot lose its saltiness, but it can become useless if it's mixed with something else. The verse goes on to say, verse 13, "But if the salt loses flavor, how it will be? Will you season it?" See the phrase lose its flavor? It's one word in the Greek. Moraino is the word here, which we get our English word moron from. As applied here, it means that salt becomes dull, insipid, tasteless, and flat. And when applied to behavior, it means to play the fool or to be foolish. And so when we behave foolishly, we act like morons and we lose our influence or our savor for the Lord. And when we lose our savor or our flavor or our testimony, when our carelessness causes us to lose our influence to persuade people about who the Lord is, at that point in time in our lives, we become useless. And that's a tragedy. So how do we do all of this? Well, you know that discontent and anger can cause us to lose our flavor. You know what Paul says, Ephesians 4:26? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So when we stay angry or bitter, we have difficulty focusing on what God wants us to do. Instead, our focus is on the person that we are angry at, while they don't even care a hoot about who we are. They keep going about their business, and while we are angry. See, our bitterness gets us sidetracked, and we begin to lose our effectiveness. And when we vent our anger on other people, we create resentment, and we lose our ability to reach them. They can't hear what we're saying because our actions are screaming at them. You know what the writer to the Hebrews says, Hebrews 12:15, looking carefully, lest any fall short of the grace of God, let any root of bitterness springing up cause you trouble, and by this may become defiled. So we can lose our flavor when we stay bitter and angry, but then disobedience and deafness can also cause us to lose our flavor. Disobeying God leads to defeat and loss of our spiritual power. There's nothing like obedience. Remember what we read in Samuel? To obey is better than sacrifice. How can we who are Christians encourage people to follow the Lord when we are disobedient ourselves? Does not compute. See, we are so determined to have our own way that we are distracted from the common sense and good counsel of God's word. Thus, we become fools and we lose our flavor. But then dollars or material possession can cause us to lose our flavor. See, when money or material possession becomes a priority in our lives, that we neglect the Lord and his word, then we lose our effectiveness. See, when a person loves earthly things more than they can get along with, he opens himself up to all sorts of temptation. Remember what Paul says? It's not money. It says, the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But then dullness also can cause us to lose our flavor. Dullness or depletion of our first love. It leaves us unconcerned, uncaring, uninvolved in the things of the Lord. We stop caring about going to church. We stop caring about praying. We stop caring about Bible study. We stop caring about the unsaved. This is what happened to the believers in Ephesus. When we read the book of Revelation, chapter 2, the believers, they had lost sight of the most important thing, which was their relationship with the Lord. And so the Lord counseled them. And you remember those three R's? Remember, repent, and repeat. That's what Revelation 2:5 says. Remember therefore from thou art fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. My beloved brothers and sisters, when we are spiritually dull and wane in our dedication to the Lord, we waste our ability and we are not useful to the Lord. This causes us to lose our effectiveness and become good for nothing. See, the Lord is deserving of our worship and our adoration. He wants our hearts. You know, the Macedonian believers had it correctly. Listen to what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 8:5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. But then if you're double-minded, this also may cause you to lose your flavor. See, when we can't make up our mind about serving the Lord, then our inconsistency hinders our effectiveness for reaching others for the Lord. You know, it's hard enough to reach others when we are dedicated. So can you imagine when we are not dedicated? When we can't make up our mind? Know what James says about the man who is double-minded? He's unstable in all his ways. The Lord wants us to make up our minds in serving him. He's to be priority of our lives. But then, what about disgraceful living? Sinful living will quickly change our testimony. The world expects us to behave like Christians. When we don't, they will turn a deaf ear to what we're saying. And when salt loses its effectiveness, it is good for nothing. And so the warning here is, salt's failure to maintain its saltiness. We are to maintain that saltiness by living disciplined lives. See, when as Christians we fall into sin, we risk losing our testimony. That's why it's always important to keep short accounts with God. And while other Christians may be forgiving, the world is not so forgiving. They will point out and say, see him? You see her? So while we can't lose our salvation, we can lose our effectiveness. Now the verse ends with, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You know, there's an ancient custom among the Jews that if a Jew backslide or apostate, then he repents and came back, before he was received back into the synagogue, he must in penitence lie at the cross the door of the synagogue and invite people to trample on him. And guess what? There are certain Christians in Thrapios who actually took up this custom. So when a believer has been disciplined and came back, they wanted the believer to lay across the place and so people to walk over him and trample him. They literally take this verse seriously. But my brothers and sisters, here's what I'm saying as I close. We may have messed up our lives big time. We may have done things that has seriously hurt our testimony and feel that we're good for nothing. But there is forgiveness with the Lord. There is forgiveness with the Lord. When we repent, seek his forgiveness. Listen to what Psalm 86:5 says. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. And Psalm 134 says, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Yes, my beloved. Our behavior will hurt our testimony and limit us in what we can do for the Lord. But God can still use us. If we have repented, seek His forgiveness, and be willing to use by Him again, recommitting our lives to Him again. And then we can begin to put our lives back together by being faithful. Faithful to the Lord, faithful to our local assembly, and by clearing our consciences with God or with anyone that we have wronged. In time, we will begin to regain our confidence and trust, and people will see that we are on a path of repentance, forgiveness, and they will start trusting us again. My question to us this morning is, what about your Christian life? Is it making a difference? Are you adding flavor to a dull world? Are you a salty Christian? If you are, they need to live like it. If not, if there are sins in your life that need to be repented of, then you need to repent of that sin and make it right with God. My beloved brothers and sisters, let us be salty saints in a decaying world. And let us never be tasteless Christians. May the Lord help us. Our corrupt world needs a lot of salt. Sola Dea Gloria. God alone be glory.